Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today with an article which appeared on the opinion page of the Wall Street Journal the 25th of September. Is Generation Z unemployable? This article was written for the journal by Susie Welch. Hiring managers prize achievement, learning, and work. Today's youth value pleasure and individuality. I came late to a career as a business school professor. I'm now in my fourth year. When I first stepped into the classroom, I did not expect that my research would soon agitate nearly everyone. It started innocently enough with a class I created about how to find your purpose, which I posited lies at the intersection of your values, your aptitudes, and economically viable interests. Intrigued by what I was learning about Gen Z by teaching, I decided to conduct a study about generational values, and because it seemed relevant in an MBA environment, I thought it would be interesting to see how Gen Z's values compared with the values most prized by hiring managers in today's economy. The analysis produced a number that startled my co-researchers and me. A mere 2% of Generation Z members hold the values that companies want the most in new hires, namely achievement, learning, and an unbridled desire to work. There is much to unpack in that finding, but let me first explain how we arrived at it. My course helps students discover their purpose through collecting three data sets. Aptitudes and economically viable interests are relatively easy to identify by having the students take widely available tests, but values are harder to pin down. One reason is that most students confuse values with virtues. Values are choices about how we want to live and work, while virtues are qualities that everyone generally agrees are good, such as kindness and integrity. Another reason it was hard to assess values was that most available tests rely heavily on self-reporting, which often led the students to discover that their values were family and financial security in equal measure. You don't need a PhD to know that people are more complex than that. Scholars have identified more than a dozen values, each existing on a continuum of intensity, of which family and financial security are only two. The Welch-Bristol Values Inventory, which I developed as part of my PhD, proposes that there are 16. In 2022, I assembled a team of data scientists, engineers, researchers, and psychometricians to help me formulate a scientifically validated, behaviorally based assessment tool called the Values Bridge. It was released this last May, and 45,000 people have taken it to date. We drew our analysis from this data, which is demographically representative of the United States in age, sex, and income. Our first step was to analyze Generation Z's values in order. In first place is eudaimonia, a Greek term my inventory uses to encompass the desire for self-care and personal pleasure. Next comes voice, the value that reflects the priority a person places on expressing authentic individuality. Thern non sibi, the Latin term meaning not for oneself, the desire to help other people. And fourth is affluence, exactly as it sounds. Fifth, beholderism, a desire for things, including yourself, to be beautiful. Then we surveyed 2,100 experienced hiring managers in knowledge industry roles, those that rely heavily on human capital. We asked employers to identify the number one value they desired in their new employees. And achievement came in first. It's the value of wanting accomplishments and success that other people can see. That value comes in 11th for Generation Z. 61% wish they had less of it in their lives. Next for the hiring managers was scope, which reflects the desire for learning, action, and stimulation. That ranks 10th for Gen Z. Third for the hiring managers was work-centrism, the desire to work for work's sake. That was 9th for Gen Z. We then calculated how many Generation Z respondents, 7,563 of the 45,000 total people who took our test, identified achievement, scope, and work-centrism in their top five values. Only 154, or 2.03%, did so. I've shared our findings with human resources managers on the external board at the New York University Stern Initiative on Purpose and Flourishing. Most were not surprised, but they were dismayed. As one put it, it's like the line, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. One chief human resources officer said, the bodies are out there, the attitudes are not. The same executive noted that her company and others, if armed with data, could become more targeted in hiring efforts, racing to find the 2% before competitors do. I have also shared the data with my students. Statistically speaking, Stern MBA students have a higher incidence of achievement than the general population does, but the reception is still one of unease. Given the tenuous job market today, the last thing they want to hear is a professor saying, and virtually none of you have the values companies want anyway. Still, I say it not to provoke, but because this is data my students should know. Values, after all, are choices. Like all choices, they have consequences. This message often is met with a pushback that business needs to change. What has a focus on achievement gotten us, young people ask, but anxiety? And who wants a life of scope with action and stimulation when the world is already unstable? Maybe they are right, and maybe business will change someday when Gen Z is in charge. But right now, that marketplace faces a values disconnect between generations that could reshape the future of work. Ms. Welch, who wrote this article, is a professor of management practice at NYU's Stern School of Business, director of Stern's Initiative on Purpose and Flourishing, and the author of Becoming You, the Proven Method for Crafting Your Life and Your Career. The next article that I would like to read for you today is from the New York Times, the 21st of September. This article on retiring was written by Lisa Rabaska Rope. A layoff in late career calls for a new strategy. When you lose your job, cannot retire, switch your focus from saving to paying your bills. Marla J. Hetzel knew the healthcare company she worked for was struggling and that several employees had been let go. So when colleagues who once sought Ms. Hetzel's input suddenly canceled meetings with her, she started to worry. I began seeing signals that were telling me that if there were going to be more layoffs, I was probably a target, says Ms. Hetzel, who is 55, who led the company's innovation efforts. So she and her husband made some changes. They began tracking every expense, challenging themselves to spend less each month on discretionary items, such as eating out, and contacting their cell phone and cable providers to find ways to reduce their bills. We were educating ourselves on where our money was going and reflecting on our behavior so that we could be ready to modify them if we were forced to, says Ms. Hetzel, who lives in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. In May, Ms. Hetzel was laid off, joining a group that now totals nearly 900,000 private sector employees who have lost their jobs so far this year, more than the number laid off through all of 2024. The federal government recently estimated it would end the year with 300,000 fewer workers. Many of these people are late career employees and not willing or financially able yet to retire. Yet finding a new job after age 50 can take months, especially as the labor market tightens. Employers added a mere 22,000 jobs in August, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, fewer than what economists had expected. The unemployment rate rose to 4.3%, up from 4.1% in June. When you're laid off later in your career, financial priorities shift sharply. You're no longer focused on building retirement savings, but on maintaining enough cash flow to cover your expenses, said Christopher L. Stroop, who is founder and president of Silicon Beach Financial in Santa Monica, California. Your first step should be figuring out how to use the money you have as a bridge to pay your living expenses while you look for a job, he said. So here are some ways to secure your finances while you search for that new job. First, manage any severance carefully. If you're lucky enough to receive a severance package, experts agree that it is important to treat it as an asset, not as a windfall. Severance packages are typically equivalent to 1 week of salary for each year of employment. So, depending on how long you have worked at this firm, you could receive up to half a year's salary or more. For many people, that could be the most money they've ever received all at one time. You may feel rich, but that feeling can lead to problems if there is a lack of financial discipline, said Josh Andrews, who is advice director at USAA, a firm that offers insurance, banking, and retirement services to the military community. That money, he said, is not for a vacation or for retail therapy, but to cover your expenses while you look for another job. David Haas recalled a coworker who was laid off and used his severance to take a month-long vacation. When the coworker returned, he had trouble finding work. Because he had spent his severance already, he liquidated most of his retirement accounts to pay his living expenses, resulting in a huge tax bill and penalties for early withdrawals, said Mr. Haas, who is president of Sirius Financial Advisors in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. Fortunately, though, he was able to find a job by the time the tax bill was due, but he still had a lot of trouble rebuilding his retirement savings in his 50s, Mr. Haas said. If your employer gives you the choice to receive your severance in one lump sum or as biweekly payments, consider the biweekly payments to make it easier to budget and less of a temptation to spend at one time, Mr. Andrews said. Next, avoid 401k withdrawals. When employees leave their jobs, one-third withdraw their 401k balance as a cash sum, according to recent Vanguard report, despite cash outs often resulting in withdrawal penalties. Before taking the money from your retirement account, use any other funds that you might have, including your severance, emergency fund, and savings, Mr. Andrews said. If you have taxable investments, such as a typical brokerage account with stocks and mutual funds, consider selling those before using your retirement fund, despite the potential loss of investment gains. Your retirement account should be your last resort for spending now because of the potential taxes and penalties involved in withdrawing from them, particularly if you're younger than 59 and a half, Mr. Andrews said. However, if you made annual contributions to a Roth IRA, individual retirement account, for 5 years or longer, you can take out that money you originally put in without a penalty, even if you are younger than 59 and a half, but you can take out only the money you deposited into the account, not the earnings, Mr. Stroop said. It's a good practice to keep your IRS form 5498, which tracks IRA contributions, or your year-end Roth IRA statements to show your contributions, he said. A health savings account is another potential source of income. If you have any prior medical receipts that you have not reimbursed yourself for from your HSA, you can submit those for payment, Mr. Stroop said. As long as the HSA was open when you incurred the charges, you can reimburse yourself at any time, he said. You don't have to make the claim the same year that the medical expense was incurred. Next, keep an eye on your tax bracket. If you have taxable investments and your income drops substantially because you're not working now, consider liquidating some holdings. While you're in that lower tax bracket, it may be an opportune time to sell some taxable investments and not pay as much tax, Mr. Andrews said. An asset such as a stock, bond, or mutual fund held for longer than a year is subject to a long-term capital gains tax. The rates are 0%, 15%, or 20%, depending on your income. A higher income results in a higher tax rate. For the year 2025, the IRS increased the income threshold. For married couples filing jointly in 2025, there is a 0% long-term capital gains tax on realized gains up to $96,700 of annual income. Married couples also get a $30,000 standard deduction, which means they could theoretically earn up to $126,700 of income and still be in the 0% capital gains bracket. For single people, there is a 0% long-term capital gains tax on realized gains up to $48,350 of annual income. Single people get a $15,000 standard deduction, allowing them to theoretically earn up to $63,350 and still be in the 0% capital gains bracket. If an individual or couple itemizes their deductions, those thresholds could be even higher. And the next possible choice for you would be study your health insurance options. If you're laid off, you're eligible now to apply for state unemployment benefits and to enroll in an Affordable Care Act, or ACA, health insurance plan. If you're offered continuation of your medical insurance under COBRA, Mr. Haas suggests comparing the costs and benefits against individual ACA plans. Those plans might be adequate and cost less for you than COBRA. If you're a military veteran, consider tapping into unused benefits, Mr. Andrews suggests. If you're losing your civilian health care, you may be able to get health care at least for the person who served, and that would save some of the money, he said. Apply for unemployment benefits in the state where you worked, not the state where you now live, according to the Department of Labor. Two key questions to ask here are, how long would the benefits last, and what might jeopardize them? For example, if you earned money during consulting, even if it's just a few $100 a month, that could reduce or eliminate your benefits altogether. So call your creditors to tell them about your job loss and ask about reducing or deferring payments while you're looking for work. Finally, do not fret about pausing saving. Financial experts agree that it is okay to stop putting money into a retirement savings account as long as you're unemployed, because it's more important to focus on paying your bills and finding a stable job. If saving to a retirement account is on the back burner for a year, it's unlikely to derail your ability to retire in the future, Mr. Stroop said. If you have any income from any consulting or freelance work you do, you might consider contributing to a Roth or traditional IRA, Mr. Trope says. Even if you cannot contribute the maximum, over time that money is going to grow and compound. Any amount is better than nothing if you have that capacity, but if you don't, that's okay too, he said. However, before contributing to an IRA, make sure that you have the cash flow to pay your bills. Instead, he recommends putting any income into a savings or checking account. When you find that stable job, then let's get back on that retirement journey, he says. The next article that I would like to read for you is from the September 25th issue of the Wall Street Journal. The title of this article is Banker Poaching and Deals Are on the Rise. This article was written for the journal by Anna Maria Androitis and Lauren Thomas. Big firms are searching for more personnel and postpone layoffs as the workload grows. A pickup in deal-making and initial public offerings is helping fuel a hot job market on Wall Street. Big banks had been adding staff over the past year in strategic expansions, but now sudden jumps in activity have them seeking to hire even more and slowing layoffs they might have otherwise executed. The overall jobs market in the United States has slowed and the economy looks weaker, but bankers are showing confidence in the future. They are seeing enough appetite in corporate boardrooms and executive suites, as well as a booming stock market, that they are now pushing ahead with plans to expand and battling for top hires. Morgan Stanley in recent months hired senior bankers in their teams that work with healthcare, technology, and industrial companies. Citigroup and Wells Fargo have been stepping up hiring as part of a broad strategy to take more market share. J.P. Morgan Chase hired more than 100 managing directors for its global banking division over the past year, a record for that group. Even a typical fall season of layoffs has been pushed off, and some banks so far have not executed cuts that are supposed to weed out lower performers, according to people familiar with the matter. Bankers said this summer's big increase in mergers and acquisitions, coupled with momentum in equity capital markets, has them confident that deal activity is likely to rise further in the coming months. Globally, M&A and equity capital markets deal volumes both surged 40% in the summer from a year ago and are having their best year since the record-setting 2021, according to Dealogic. Debt capital markets activity and lending to companies have also picked up. That is a big change from recent years when low deal volume led banks to pare back their staff they had raced to hire in the 2021 boom. And it is a shift from the early spring when the Trump administration's tariffs plan sent markets reeling and triggered company boards to put deals on ice. Goldman Sachs had already decided to make a round of cuts in the spring, and the tariffs announcement had executives in wait-and-see mode as to whether another round of layoffs were going to be needed. Instead, Goldman decided to hire more bankers, with a focus on those who specialize in middle markets, according to people familiar with the matter. The arrow now is pointing upwards. They're thinking of increased headcount and taking advantage of the boom that is coming, said Alan Johnson of compensation consulting firm Johnson Associates. The hiring is focused on senior bankers who bring with them connections to make deals happen, he said. The big five investment banks are now poaching high-profile bankers from each other and increasingly competing against private equity firms as well. Demand is especially high for senior executives who focus on sectors including power, industrials, consumer, and financial institutions, said Leslie Gordon, head of the Global Banking and Markets Sector at consulting firm Korn Ferry. "You just don't see layoffs the way we used to see feast and famine," Gordon says. "Wall Street has learned layoffs can be very disruptive, and if deal activity does pick up, then you can be caught flat-footed." Meanwhile, the IPO market this month is the busiest it has been in years. Morgan Stanley is looking to add more equity capital markets bankers, according to people familiar with the matter. Citigroup hired a senior executive from J.P. Morgan to co-lead its equity capital markets business and a new head of technology financing in July. The Federal Reserve's move to lower interest rates is likely to add to deal-making by making it more appealing for clients to issue debt or borrow to buy a company. A big question now is whether the boom is here to stay. Executives have long been talking about seeing green shoots, only for activity to slow down because of macroeconomic factors such as geopolitics and tariffs. At an industry conference earlier this month, executives expressed confidence. Morgan Stanley co-president Dan Simkowitz said, "Volumes are dramatically improved versus any period we've seen since the post-COVID inflation move. Even if it does pick up, the long-term outlook for employment on Wall Street remains murky. While Wall Street needs more humans as bankers today, that could change in the future. Big banks are investing in artificial intelligence with the goal of increasing productivity and cutting costs, raising the question of how many junior and mid-level bankers are going to be needed to make those deals happen." This brings us to the end of the time that we have for our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And I would suggest getting out there and enjoying this beautiful fall weather that we're having. Thanks for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.